This morning, folks, as we get prepared to start our summer series, Brian's behind this light. I can't see him this morning. But we stop and think about the parables of Jesus. And let's just stop and think for just a minute about the parables and what they really are. And, you know, the Old Testament, when the disciples came along, and Jesus had chosen his disciples, then what did they have to think about when Jesus went to speaking about parables? Well, they had the Proverbs. The Proverbs was a parable, but it was kind of like a mini parable in a sense. It was a proverb, but it was kind of like, had it been written a different way, it could have been a parable. But Solomon, along with Jesus being the main wisest person that ever walked the face of the earth, Solomon was a wise person as well. And so if you read the Proverbs, you can see where it could have been very easily changed. One of the Proverbs that if you was to look at would have been Proverbs 25:28. And Solomon is talking about, he says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Now, that's a proverb, okay? He could have said, let me tell you a little short story, a little parable. He could have said, well, this city was built by these great men, and this city had a fantastic wall around it. But they decided not to take care of the wall. And the wall deteriorated. And as the wall deteriorated, then the enemies came in. And as the enemies came in, then they took over the people, which would basically be the same thing, except that would be more like a parable. So we think about parables, proverbs, parables, and Jesus knew that a parable was kind of like bringing along, something along right beside of what he was saying that would make you understand what he was saying. If I'd have been, I need him today more than probably anybody, but if I'd have been there, that would have really helped me, because him speaking like he was speaking, I might have got it. I might have missed it. But him talking about being the four soils and the sower, it made it pretty clear. It brings it out to us as to what we really are. So as we look at the 13th chapter of Matthew, and we'll read through the 23rd verse, he ends up kind of explaining this to us, folks, at the end of this, starting with the 16th verse. And you go hear a little bit of that scripture that we read for the pouring of the water as well this morning. So starting with the 13th, the first verse. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat and then he sat there and taught these people as people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath. And the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon withered under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns. They grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And then he says, and he's going to explain the four soils. He says to his disciples, came and asked him, well, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And he replied, you're permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. Now listen to that, folks. You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills this prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes. So their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, as they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting the seed. The seed that fell on the footpath, that represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their heart. The seed that fell on the rocky soil, that represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems and are persecuted and for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear this parable about the sower and the four soils and all of the things that's going on in this parable, we take a look at our own self, and we think about, you know, where are we in this parable? Well, you know, you had the farmer, the sower, and to a big degree that is us in the world that we live in, but that's really God that brought the word and sent his son Jesus, and that is really the main sower is God himself. He brought this word and his son Jesus to live here, and he left us with his word. I mean, nothing besides that death, burial, and resurrection any better than that book right there and the words that's in it. And so we have this word that we're supposed to take out into the people of the world, and in doing so, we're sowing this seed. But Jesus is saying to the disciples, listen, guys, you're fixing to go out into the world. If you back up into chapter 10, you'll see as he's giving them their instructions, and as he gives them the instructions, he tells them it's going to be tough. This is something that's going to be hard to do. This is not going to be an easy task. And so we see this task unfolding upon the disciples, but it's also unfolded upon us. And so as we see it unfold upon us, how do we react? How do we take notice in this parable? Because he says some will fall on the footpath. The footpath. And then he says, represents those that hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Well, you know, he tells us over in the first part that the birds came and ate them. So that was the first part of the parable, when the seeds landed on the footpath. Now, folks, I don't know about y'all, but I grew up on an old farm, and I know what all of this is. I mean, it's just right plain to me. And a footpath can be dirt, but it can be just like this concrete. And when those seeds hit that, it cannot penetrate that. And so they lay there, and the birds come, and they eat them. So, in our life, the word comes to us. It is brought to us since we've been little children. Some of us maybe didn't start coming to church until we were older. But it doesn't matter if you didn't start but 2 weeks ago or a week ago. You've heard the word if you've come to Grace Life Church. You've heard God's word be spoken. And you're hearing what he's telling us to do. And so these seed that are laying on this hard footpath are gone. Because you know what? The devil snatches you up. You come in here, but you go back out into the world, and what is it? Man, it's a lot better out here than it was. It's sitting in them theater chairs at Grace Life Church. So, you know, the old devil says we need to go do this or we need to go do that. It's not important to be there. It's not important to hear the word. And he snatches you up because you're young and you're in your Christianity. You're young. You don't understand. He said that there would be people that did not understand. He was talking about those religious leaders, those Pharisees, and all of them people that thought they knew everything. But Jesus was saying, there's people here that will not understand because they're all about the law. They want to do it the law's way. They don't want to listen to what I've actually got to say. They don't want to hear the truth. And so they'll never understand it. They're going to hear the word, but they're not going to understand it. And so we see that that footpath is as hard as this concrete, and nothing comes from it. And then there's some soil that's over the rock. They must have been talking about Buchanan. I can't believe that Jesus lived at Buchanan. But the soil is about that deep over all of that rock. And you do good to get something to grow. And if you got to really get down in them rocks if you get it to pick up and come on. So that's the way it is where I live. It's soil is very, very thin. So he says that the soil will sprout quickly. The seed will sprout quickly. But because the soil is shallow, the plants will soon wither under the hot sun. And so they didn't have deep roots. We know that. Folks, this is the flesh that we live in. We are hearing this word, and this flesh that we live in, this part that likes the world. Is any part of y'all like the world? I do. I like the world. I like it. I have to stay really on my guard not to let the world grab me here and there, you know, because there's things of the world that you like. And it's easy for us to get caught up in our flesh and let the devil, the world, take us over. So this is what Jesus knew. He said they're shallow. They hear it. It'll pop up. They act like they're on fire for the Lord. But a month or two, you won't see them. They'll be gone. They'll wither and die out when the July heat gets here. And that's how we are sometimes as Christians. We know that we're supposed to pick up and go on and push forward, but we don't. Now, folks, this is not to say that you're going to be saved by your works. You're going to be saved by what you do. It's not. You're going to be saved through the grace of God. It tells us that. But if you've got a tree, I don't care what it is. If you've got a tree and you plant it in your yard to maybe have an apple or a peach, and it's not doing anything, you cut it down. So you see, it's something that we're to produce this fruit. We're to produce for Jesus what we can tell others. And so we're going to see this in the end of this parable. But it says also that it was in some shallow ground. It sprouted, it went down, and then he threw some, and they went into the thorns. Now, folks, I know back when I was a kid, and Daddy would say, all right, we're going to sow this hay field here, and you got a sack around your neck with a crank. I bet Randy's had one of them around his neck, and you crank it, and you fill it up, and it's heavy. As a kid, it's real heavy, and you fill it up, and you crank it. And as you crank it, Daddy would say, back up 15, 20 foot from that thicket over there, them briars, and start, and it'll sling it over there. And so you then step over, and you'll go again. But some of those seed went into those blackberry thicket, into that, all them briars and the thorns and all of that. And we know that when those seed tried to come up, All of that old briary stuff and all of that old thickety stuff choked them out. And that's what Jesus was saying when he was talking about when the seed goes in, you're sowing it on good ground, but there's going to be some of it that's going to get over into the side of the thorns and the bushes and different things. And you say, well, Mike, what in the world, what kind of thorns and things would choke out good seed? Those are good seed we're sowing. There's many things, folks, in our life that have an effect on choking out the things. You take your wealth, you know. Everybody gets up every morning worried about their wealth, their money. And so we see that's a weed in our life. It's just a weed just like anything in the world. Wealth is something that takes you away from God. It takes your mind to the bank instead of to the church. It takes your mind to what's happening with my money, and it's going away. We're losing money every week. It's not doing good. So we see wealth. We see the worries of the life that we're living. We got all kinds of worries, folks. There's everything in the world that knocks us in the head to worry about. It does me. I'm just saying about me. It's a weed. It keeps growing up in my good soil. I don't need these weeds, but they're there. Things that we look at, we see these beautiful things in these windows and sitting out front of these places where you buy these things that roll, you know. That's what I like. I like something that rolls, and I like something that pops, and that's my favorite thing. And so, you know, when I see those things, I just, wow, I can't hardly deal with it. But that's a weed. That's a weed in my life, you know, because the things that roll cost lots of money. And a lot of the things that we desire in life, they cost lots of money. And they take things away from us. They take these things, takes time that we could be spending with others, doing for others, spending with the Lord, learning about the Lord away. And there's pleasures, folks. Pleasures of this life. I told Dan, I got the opportunity to go fishing Friday. And I went. And we went to a place that never been before, and didn't even know it was there and even existed to be as beautiful as it is. But it's just a beautiful place. And as I got there, and we finally got in the water and got started fishing, and I said, I can't believe this place is as pretty as it is. And I didn't even know about it. I'm 67 years old, and here it is. It's just a God's gift to you right here. And as I was sitting there fishing, and I continued, there was a big lodge on a big mountain of a thing here. And I'm looking up at this lodge, and there's cabins all on this side of this lake. And, I mean, I'm thinking, man, could I just imagine spending the weekend right here? I mean, you know, really, I could just pull my boat up to that dock and go up there and stay in one of them cabins. I could have it made for the whole weekend. And these things, these pleasures of life, folks, they begin to take over your mind. And you begin to think, instead of me going home, I got to go home tonight, and it's going to be 9 or 10 o'clock when I get home. I could be right up there. I could have a couple of 3 days right here. Knowing that I can't, but I could. And the devil's saying, well, son, you can come back. You can come back next week. Brian's going to preach next week. You can come back next week and just stay all weekend. You see how your pleasures and things begin to roll in your mind? And they overtake God. They overtake your desire for the Word. They overtake the things that you're trying your best to stay focused on, folks. This is what Jesus knew. And he said, you have to stay focused. You got to stay focused. If you're going to be the sower, you can't be walking along thinking you're 20 foot off of a off of the blackberry patch and you're over here in it, because daddy would, he would really get on me, on you about that. You got to stay focused on where you're walking. You got to step over your 15 feet and come back. You got to stay focused on everything you're doing if you're going to be the sower of seed in a field or sower of seed for the Lord. You got to stay focused. Folks, is it easy? No, it's not. And Jesus said that the harvest could be 30 times, it could be 60 times, it could be 100 times. But folks, what I want you to think about today is the fact that he didn't give any more preference to the 100 times of the yield than he did to the 30. And back in Jesus' day, 10% of something was a lot. If you could plant a seed and return it in 10%, you had done something. And so he didn't have these seeds that we farm with today. He didn't know how that you could have such a abundant, or he did, because he knew we would in these times that we're living in, but he didn't have that to teach, that we could grow as many bushel per acre of corn or beans or whatever we want to now as we do. But he says it's just as important if your yield is 10 times, 30 times, 60 times, or 100. Folks, you never know what your yield's going to be. You sow God's word, and you wait and let God harvest it. You never know what you're sowing. You never know what kind of soil that it's falling in. You never know how good that it is. And, you know, if you farm a bunch of acres of land, I've never farmed that much, but I've helped Randy and I've helped them do a lot of stuff. And they'd say, well, this old ground over here is not near as good as that farm over there was. And that's just the way it is. And if you're in Buchanan, it's just not as good as probably as it's going to be from Henry to Cottage Grove back in that area. It's just better soil. But you know what? You sow it and you plant it and you do everything you can to make it as good as it is and as good as it can be. And that's all God's asking of us, folks, is to sow it and let him reap the yield. But we have to stop and ask ourselves. I ask myself a lot. I stop and I wonder to my own self. I just wonder, Lord, how much of my sowing has really made a difference in anyone else's life? Who have I affected? Who's going to have anything to say about what I've done? I think about that, folks. I want to touch your life. I want to make a difference in your life. I want you to have the peace that I understand now. I didn't used to have it. I didn't used to have any peace. I had total chaos in my life. And now I have peace. Because you know what? I can't do anything about what God's in control of. I can't control anything. I can't control one form thing. But he can. And he offers this to us. He says, you be the sower. You sit down at night, you get in your recliner, you take you a nap, and get you a good shower, and you're just going, you don't have to worry about it. You're just going to be wiped clean of this day. You've done everything that you know to do. And let me deal with it. But folks, we try to take everything and micromanage it. We want to have our hands right on top of everything. It's got to be this way, got to be that way. It doesn't. It doesn't. All we have to do is sow the seed and wait for God, because he will be the one that will harvest it. I think Jesus knew and understood that the Pharisees and all of the ones that were so wrapped up in the law and the things that they were all wrapped up in, you know, and they was always telling Jesus, well, you can't do that. It's the Sabbath. You can't do this. You can't do that. He claims to be the equal with God. And they were all wrapped up in things that they were reading. And Jesus says, they're not going to understand this word that I'm telling y'all. They're not even supposed to. But you're going to understand it because you're my people. You're the people that I have chosen to hear this word and to come and understand. And so, folks, today as we hear God's word and we know that we're no more than just a chosen one to take the word into the world. You're sitting there. You're not volunteering to be the preacher. Me and Brian will let you preach, but, you know, we'll let you have this. But we're not, but you're the preacher when it comes Monday morning. Wherever you're at, you're the preacher. You're the people that they're seeing. You're the Bible that they're reading. They're looking at you and they're saying, you know, I don't want to be like mine. If that's the preacher, I don't want to be like that. It makes a difference in how we live our life and what we're doing. You know, I had to apologize to Ed this morning because I was watching him struggle the other day and I was bush hogging and I didn't really know what he was trying to do or doing, but he told me this morning what he would like to have had done, and I could have done that. I could have helped him do it. I'll put it the other way. So, you see, a lot of times when we're looking and we're wondering what's going on, we just need to drop what we're doing and go take care and ask. And you'll be surprised what you might see and what you might be able to do and make a difference, not only in somebody's life that they're working in, but in a difference in their spiritual life and in the life that they're trying to examine and have with the Lord. That relationship, you never know what a relationship builder that you might be. So, folks, I ask you today, what kind of yield are you going to have this year? What kind of yield are you going to have at the end when God calls us out of here? What kind of yield are we going to be wondering when we get there? You know, Lord, what kind of yield have I got? Have I got a 5%, 10%, 30%? I know you don't tell us you have to have any kind of yield, but I wanted to have someone there because of what I've said or what I've done. I want to make a difference for you, Lord. Did that happen? I can't come back and tell you, but he'll be able to tell me if it's true. You've got a 30% yield. You've got a 60% or 100%. Hard to have 100% in the world we live in, folks. But there's so many people and so many kids, so many young adults that need guidance today. They need someone. I had a kid call me the other day, and he talked to me on the phone for quite a while. And he said, Mike, Dad died a year ago or so. He said, I just want you to know, I got to have an old man in my life. And he said, I've chosen you. I said, well, thank you, because I'm an old man and I can be there in your life. I'm always here. All you got to do is just dial the phone. But isn't that wonderful, folks, when somebody knows that they need an old man? Everybody needs an older person in their life than you are, whether it be a woman or a man. You need an older person in your life. You know, last week and a half ago, I went by Miss Ann and visited Dan Pascal for about an hour. Now, Dan Pascal is full of, he's got lots of knowledge and a lot of wisdom about a lot of things that's going on in this world. Now, me and him don't agree on very much, but when it comes to the Bible, we pretty much agree. And I had one of the best visits. And Dan is 90, 91 or 2, I don't know, 93. So I got an older person that I can go visit. And he was laying on the couch, and he appreciated so much coming by and us talking about the Bible and about the Lord and about Cottage Grove and about the things that goes on in the world today. Folks, you make a difference by sowing seed. Jesus knew this, and this is why he was setting us up. He was telling us this so that we could be builders of the kingdom, his kingdom, not our kingdom, his kingdom. We can call this our kingdom if you want to, because you own a little property, or you own a lot of property, or you've got millions or billions of dollars. You got nothing. It can all go away overnight. But His kingdom is what we're trying to build. And we want everybody and all of our friends and all of our neighbors to be there with us. And that you may be the way that they get there. By the words that you say, by what you do, and how you present it to them. So folks, think about your yield. Go out today as we leave here. And next Sunday, I'm sure Brian's supposed to preach if he gets back from camp. If he don't, then you may have to hear me again. But hopefully he'll be here. They won't leave till Sunday morning. And you'll be rolling in just about the right time. That'd be good. That'd be real good. So, folks, everything we do, it's for the Lord. It's for the Lord. And so we are hoping that everyone gets on board and everyone can make a difference in the kingdom that we have ahead of us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.